This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell. I'm so glad to be here with you today. We have a special guest, Patricia Gagish. She is going to be talking about how to be inspired to be rewired every day. Patricia is an accomplished international contemporary artist and award-winning author. Her passion is always about helping others. She's an active Rotarian, serves as a volunteer in her community, and sits on several boards. She's represented by Art Productions in New York City and will be exhibiting in Paris, London, Singapore, and Australia in 2020. Patricia is also the author of Mastering the Five Radical Degrees of Life. Welcome to the show, Patricia. How are you today?
Well, hi. Hey, excellent. Thank you so much. A little cold here in Canada, but survivable.
What you call a little cold, because I'm in Southern California, and so it was 37 degrees last night, Fahrenheit, and I was like, it's really cold. What you call a little cold, I call being in the Arctic.
Right. Okay, so we have kind of a little bit more of the Arctic, so we're minus 20 right now, so it's a little cold. It's a little chilly.
Anyways, lovely
to be on your show today.
So great to have you. It's completely my pleasure, Patricia. So let's talk a little bit about how you came to do what you're currently doing.
I was such an interesting child. I was drawing when I was 4 years old, and I was, funny enough, I was drawing Elizabethan ball gowns, and I loved everything abstract. And I guess that passion inside of me just kept going. And, you know, I really wanted to become a dress designer. I wanted to do anything to do with art. But I was also very left side, right side. So I loved numbers. And, you know, I became a banker. I did a lot of different things. And then art became my longtime passion.
Wow. It's just, it's not that often to find a person that's left, right side. I worked for a doctor, a medical doctor once, who was the same way. He was a doctor of medicine, yet he was also an artist. So how did you balance that? And I know you say you love numbers as well. So tell us a little bit about the balance between the two.
Well, I wanted to follow my father's footsteps, you know, and he was a bookkeeper and accountant, and I thought, well, this is going to be, you know, the place for me. And I got into banking, actually. I had a sort of a strange time when I was, you know, just ending high school. I had a childhood sweetheart, high school sweetheart, and unfortunately, he passed away, actually, as we finished grade 13. And at that point in time, I really wanted to, you know, not feel sorry for myself, but I wasn't sure. And I just thought, okay, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to go and become a bank teller. So I did that with the bank here. And then I saw what was going on, and I went, wow, I want to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So I wanted to climb the corporate ladder, the ivory tower, and I did. And I was very fortunate. I was still continuing to do my drawing and at the same time, you know, pursuing this career in banking. And so when I was 25, I actually was one of the youngest, one of the first female bank managers in the Manitoba, Saskatchewan district, going back into the early 70s.
Wow.
Which was very groundbreaking at that time, considering, you know, there were not that many women, first of all, and then to be only, you know, 25 years old when I actually had my very first branch as an actual bank manager.
It's amazing. That's I remember the 70s very well. My sister was also in banking, and she also rose up to be manager, which was very rare in the day. And and she was about your age as well. So that was in New York City. So I know, you know, how much of an accomplishment that was. So tell us a little bit about what role authenticity played in all of this for you.
Well, I think being a, you know, I'm a Libra. So everything for me is balanced. I know I just felt all the time that I had this vision of, you know, pushing myself and wanting to become a role model for other women, which I thought, you know, even though I was just in my 30s, I still mm-hmm. felt that I'd accomplished so much that other women had not yet accomplished. And so it was a little bit groundbreaking. And balancing things for me was really pushing the envelope with my art as well. So I've never seen myself as a copier. I always felt that I had this, you know, I always ran to my own drummer. So staying mm-hmm. authentic, accepted. When I did receive compliments, I accepted when I had, you know, worked and felt that I was validated for receiving the job I had received. So remaining somewhat authentic to, you know, what my vision was and my plan just sort of came natural. I don't know, maybe it was just something in my DNA. I never felt that I was not authentic to what I was doing. Just I just had a very, very focused, ambitious brain.
mm-hmm. That's so wonderful because that is very rare. I mean, I do life coaching and I talk to people all the time. And for myself, I didn't even know what my authentic self was. I started out, you know, you start out when you're a teenager, but then I began to lose it. So I think it's wonderful that from the beginning, I mean, I just can imagine you as four drawing these ball gowns. What a sweet, beautiful story. And continuing in your art, and then, which many people, of course, drop because everybody tells you it won't get you anywhere, you can't make any money, you know, it's not accepted, et cetera. But I love that you stuck to what you love to do. So tell us a little bit about how that all developed, especially your art.
Well, my father passed away, unfortunately, just after my 25th birthday. Mm. And that was a big dent for me. He was my role model. He was my hero. And at that time, I felt that, you know, I wanted to also become an entrepreneur. I really wanted to, you know, focus on how many more parts of the puzzle of Patricia I could add. And I moved my energy into those directions where I started a different way of viewing life. And I want to think that, you know, as many hurts as there were in my life, and there were many, you know, losing my true love at the, you know, age mm-hmm. of 18 years old, 19, I, you know, had basically made a decision that I was going to marry and I was going to live happily ever after. So there were always these moments of reflection. And I don't know that you ever, I think they guide you, that they bring you to a place where I just kept saying, I'm not going to feel sorry. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to devote myself to doing the best, you know, best that I possibly can for those in my world. And I guess just seeing myself in that capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where did this passion for inspiring others to be rewired every day come from?
I have a long history of wanting to study everything that I can get my hands on. So after banking, I decided to become an entrepreneur, and I started a property management business. And I also wanted to really focus on being recognized in Canada for my art. So mm-hmm. fortunately, I dabbled in on both sides. So I tackled my art career full throttle, and then I tackled, you know, moving through becoming an entrepreneur and being in business. And as I was doing that, I met so many people that didn't feel that they could accomplish, you know, what it was that their dreams were. And mm-hmm. when I was, you know, engineering myself to be, you know, I was just very curious. I started studying a lot of things, including Buddhism, and then I actually became involved in studying the Foundation for the Preservation of the Mahayana Tradition through the FBMT program. And I studied mm-hmm. Hinduism and Baha'i and the Kabbalah, the Zohar, many, many different aspects of, you know, philosophy. And as I did that, I could see the holes inside of the people around me, and I would try to encourage them. And as time went by, you become a little bit of a voice, a mentor, and people look at you for guidance. And after many years of, you know, going through my own ups and downs, I decided I needed to write this down. And the first thing that happened was I decided to write a book, and I called it Karmic Alibi, Gaining Expedient Wisdom by Leaving Your Excuses Behind. And in that book, it's a nonfiction narrative. I began to talk about some of the events that had taken place in my life that perhaps for other people, they might feel, I would never get over that. I don't know how she could imagine this happening, and then you must carry that sorrow all the way through. Well, I had so many things happen that as they just kept happening to me, I thought, okay, while I'm dealing with this one, the next one would happen. And then eventually, as I said, when I decided to write Karmic Alibi, I shared my stories in a way that I created an opportunity for people to see perhaps themselves through my eyes, through my words, to encourage them to have a different view, to perhaps look at this as being a path or an opportunity. And that focus, I guess, you know, became one of the parts of the puzzle. And I studied a little bit with Dr. Joe Dispenza, and that, you know, talking about neuroplasticity and that rewiring of yourself. So I created Mastering the Five Radical Degrees of Life, which I call Risk, Root, Remedy, Realization, and Reality, which can be applied pretty well to everything that we do. And I incorporated that in a vision of my next project, which is Anger to Zen. That is actually the next book that I'm working on, and hopefully incorporating my Inspired to Be Rewired method. A lot of it has to do with meditation, really doing some transformative work and transcending your existence right now into more of a mindfulness state.
Mm. Wow, that's fantastic. You've studied a lot and you've learned a lot, but what I love the most is that you've actually created things that other people can learn from. Because, you know, we can all study. I love to study everything, too, and learn everything, too. But I love the way you've taken it and created it so that other people can learn. It's wonderful. Very nice. So
thank you.
What do you believe is the first step for a person? You talked before about people who didn't know how to achieve their dreams. You know, they couldn't achieve their dreams, whatever. What do you think is a very first step, a little step that a person can take? Somebody who might be listening now.
I'm going to say, I have in my mind a list of questions I ask myself. And the first one I say is, am I holding on to an event in my life that I cannot get over? And because sometimes we don't realize, you know, something that happened to us perhaps in our childhood or you know, not always is it just in the moment where someone has said something or insulted you. Usually the things that have happened to us that give us that deep sense of darkness or we need to, you know, hold on to it, to not feel sorry for ourselves, but I think we have a tendency to want to make that a bit of a block. And I think to myself, am I suffering from this event? If I think about it, and if I'm suffering from this event, am I holding someone else accountable for the event, whether I understood the circumstances or not? And then when you start into that thinking pattern, you ask yourself those questions, and then you have to sit and say, if I'm capable of asking myself that right now, and I can pinpoint basically what perhaps was something that created my emotional, you know, dilemma right now, then I have to say, that's just really an initial step, but am I willing to change? Mm-hmm. And I think that answer is your real first step, because if you are willing to change, then you've really taken a journey that perhaps needs to have a new course, or you might be able to achieve recognition of that as something that can give you it can be moved to a new place where instead of holding it into that that place inside of your mind where you, you know, blamation. I want to blame so-and-so for what happened to me. I want to blame, mm-hmm. you know, another person. There's so many parts of a person's life. I'm sure to all, you know, you and I talking about, you know, our own personal lives. One person could have done something to you that has changed how you feel about a certain thing. And as you get older and mature, you gravitate to that as being, you know, a source of pain and suffering. And mm-hmm. perhaps there's a way of looking at it differently and believing that maybe if I recognize it for what it is, I can get past it. Maybe I do know how to get past it. And it's that what you see in me that you don't like is what you don't like in yourself. And when we say it to ourselves, mm-hmm. then you can say, I want to become a little bit different. I want to change.
Wow. You know, that process is amazing. I love the part. The third question, am I holding someone else responsible for this suffering? That's where we get stuck.
Yeah.
You know, and then reliving it and continue to feel that suffering in our body. And we don't have to do that. I just love that.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that more. We're going to take a quick break. And if you want to call in and ask Patricia a question, please feel free to call 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start calling now, and we'll be right back.
Ew, Mom, what is wrong with my hair?
Oh, honey, you have lice.
Lice?
It's rather painful.
I know. Let's try Grace's Niflix.
Hey, what that nice smell.
Wow, they're gone.
Grace's Niflix not only gets rid of lice, but also prevents it. It's a safe, plant-based product that can be used every day for healthy hair. Grace's Niflix.com.
Use Niflix to protect you.
Have you noticed that when you are having a good day, the day seems to flow with more ease? That is no mistake. When we feel good about ourselves, we attract this to us. I'm Joy Truscott, and as a clinical therapist, I specialize in releasing trauma blocks and shifting age-old family patterns that no longer serve us. Hop onto my website, joytruscott.com, to access many free resources and find out how we can work together.
Dr. Michelle Arhana is a relationship coach, author, and speaker. Dr. Michelle helps singles and couples emotionally heal, connect deeper through intimacy, and live authentically. Book your free session today at michellearhana.com. Wondering if he or she is the one? Need to reinvent your relationship? Go to michellearhana.com and purchase The Vows, a workbook for marriage success and understanding yourself. Don't forget to follow her on IG at michelle_r_hanna.
Perceptive Awareness Technique with Susan Zumo teaches rapid expansion of your psychic abilities, increases self-esteem, and provides immediate and accurate answers to all your questions. Contact Susan at SusanZumo.com, that's SusanZumo.com, or call 757-275-4071. Again, that's SusanZumo.com or 757-275-4071 to get started.
Hi, we're back to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, with special guest Patricia Gagish. She's an artist, internationally renowned contemporary artist, and award-winning author. So let's talk a little bit about, excuse me one second, the main message that you'd like to bring to the public, Patricia.
Well, I'm going to say that this project that I'm working on with the tools of Inspired to Be Rewired is Anger to Zen. And in Anger to Zen, I really feel that habitually we stay safe. But it's in these unpredictable moments when something happens and we have to make a decision if we're going to risk or if it's the hand of fate or destiny. But to me, risk is such an illusion that we create for ourselves. And in that capacity, this opportunity for us to have this creative impulse and inspiration to guide us into this sort of inner wisdom. So I'm hoping that through my art, as people are viewing the work, which is somewhat etheric and looks like it's part of this world, but perhaps it's not, that we're maybe visiting another realm, that it may open an opportunity for people to ask those questions that, you know, are always sitting in that place of discomfort. And so the messages within my art, the messages within the book Anger to Zen, which will also incorporate, you know, looking at this world in a way that has no suffering, the cessation of that suffering, and believing that you have to believe you have a fortunate life. And I know, Mari, we talked about poverty and we talked about, you know, homeless people. And earlier, you know, there's an integrity around how we live our life and what we do with it. And this recognition, you know, do you want to sidestep negative energy? Do you want to sidestep the confrontations? Or do you want to look at them and say, you know, this is the reality, and what can I do to change what I'm doing that may in fact help another person? There's a person who was alive in this planet, Adidas Samraj, and in the book that he wrote, Not To Is Peace, the premise of that is everybody all at once, in a world where if everybody all at once made the decision to look for that peace, to have that inner peace and to be able to recognize that, of course, it's very difficult to imagine that happening in this world based on the way the world actually works right now. But it's, in my mind, it's like a tenacious attempt to share your real life experience with empathy and hope.
I love that. If everybody all at once, I mean, it sounds beyond incredible, but even if we took it a neighborhood at a time, you know what I'm saying? Even that would be a huge thing to happen, or a family at a time, if everybody all at once was focusing on the inner peace in a family, now that the holidays are coming, what impact would that make? And then if they did it in their schools, or they did it at their workplace and in their neighborhoods, and then it could expand, because that's how things happen. You know, each one of us does make a difference, and sometimes we feel we don't, but each one of us does make a difference. So that's just an amazing, beautiful message. Wow.
Well, Mari, when you look at how we are right now, like this is now, you know, the holiday season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it actually is so encouraging when you see how many either businesses or people that are really quite devoted to wanting to make it better for others during this time. So, you know, there's fundraisers, there's collections, there are a lot of people that are doing, you know, serving food, and you close your eyes and you think, wow, if you have the ability to do that today for this, like, next couple of weeks, how is that removed from you? You feel as if, you know, your job is done. Oh, okay, I've served and I've done what I should do for humanity because it's Christmas or it's this holiday period. And then you go back to how you felt after that. I really wish that people could actually hold on to that and say, wow, if I can do this now, why not continue it? Why not be able to serve, go to one of the shelters and to serve their dinner? You know, it's sort of and I don't want to make this sound in a negative way, but there are people who only once a year will get together and do that, and then it's their feel-good feeling, which it is a feel-good feeling, but why are you pretending that it's okay to have that only once a year? I really want people to understand, what is reality? This reality, it's seriously pretty fractured.
Yeah.
So,
and even more so, I was thinking, why would you want to limit that feel-good feeling to once a year? Why wouldn't you want to feel good every week or once a month, you know, all year long? You know, the same thing has happened here. We had some fires. We had some wildfires the last few weeks here in California. And a community where one of the writers in my group lived was destroyed. Everything was destroyed.
Wow.
And those people came together. People came together, and I saw it all go down on Facebook and you know, volunteered to bring meals, gave things away, gave money, helped them. And I was thinking the same thing you were just saying. Why does it take a tragedy? And I know in tragedies we come together, but why can't we help each other more? And we can. It's just a decision, like you said before. It's a decision that you make. And yeah, I love that.
It's very nice. Like erasing that old pathway of thinking and just creating a better outcome, so that, you know, these remedies that you think are just acceptable now would actually nurture and strengthen and really restore the attitude, just to gain that expedient wisdom. It really is something that, you know, people should really think about. So,
yeah, I agree. My mom was a very giving person, and her entire life, she served people. She helped people. She was a stay-at-home mom, but she helped everyone. She helped all the neighbors. Whatever they needed, she was there to help them. And she was an example of that, of just being a helpful, kind, considerate, loving person. And we need more of that. We certainly need more of that to the world. So let's talk a little bit about how to get a hold of you and your website, et cetera.
Well, the website with my art is my name. So it's www.patriciakarengygich.com, and we're adding new work to that site very soon. The inspired www.inspiredtoberewired.com is also a site people can visit and learn a little bit more about the Mastering the Five Radical Degrees. And I'm also quite happy for people to write me, and I'm always responding back. So it's patgagic@gmail.com, and I take those emails personally. And if I can, you know, help in any way, offer some, you know, support, I'm more than happy to respond to people. So I do not hesitate to give out my email. I think it's really important.
It's so sweet. It is. It's a personal connection, and we don't get that so often. So we do appreciate that. And you'll also find Patricia on my website, lifecoachmari.com, lifecoachmari.com. Just click on the radio show page, and she's already there with her picture, a link to her website, and a link to this interview, which I hope you'll pass on, because she's just been speaking wisdom the entire time. So is there one last thing, Patricia, that you'd like to say to a listener, something that's dear to your heart right now?
Well, I think people have integrity. A lot of people hold integrity, and they must think about the fact that if they're participating, they need to give themselves permission to raise their awareness, to sort of jump outside of what the usual is, and maybe penetrate a little bit deeper into changing things, because if they, by example, make a change, then other people will. So it's also, I think, people create or receive a greater sense of self-confidence as they become more aware and more mindful. And I've seen the results of this. I'm fortunate to have had mentors. My mentor in France with my art, Dragan Dragic, who absolutely believes that you have to go to zero and then recognize what your truth and your path is. Some of the, you know, people who I have learned a great deal from, I mentioned Craig Doeswalt. He has a boot camp, a marketing boot camp that I was part of the mastermind for a number of years. And there's a lot of lessons that people actually receive. You shift your life, your business, your outcomes, and you can see how things can become attainable. I'm working as well right now with Clint Arthur, who is the celebrity entrepreneur, and a fabulous group of people who all want to become celebrities in their industry specifically. And I believe that it's this rewiring, that when you start to realize your own personal value, you're not any different than anybody else. We all eat, sleep, do the same things, but it's this mindset that we have that puts us somehow into a position where we don't think we're deserving. And that authentic, you know, deserving is real. And people do deserve to receive and manifest. And of course, the final part of that piece is gratitude, and remaining in gratitude so that you are being able to help others at the same time. I really strongly believe that.
Yeah, everything. I agree with everything that you said, especially the part about feeling worthy of what you want. Many times we don't get what we receive. We don't receive what we want because we don't really feel worthy for it. So Thank you so much for being on the show. It's just been a pleasure having you. Thank you for listening in. I hope that you'll spread this interview. Like I said, the replay will be available immediately. And catch us next time on Dare to Be Authentic Radio.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.